the story we live in. This is what the headline for this is, that I want us to continue to go from being a one-day-a-week service church into a seven-day-a-week serving church. To go from being a one-day-a-week service church into a seven-day-a-week serving church. And we already have that as our heart. There's so many things that we do. But I just want to highlight some of the things we're already doing and some of the things we're pressing into. Before I do that, just a little bit of a theological background, just to say why we believe what we do and why we go after what we do. Where we are a church that goes after making healthy disciples, healthy followers of Jesus. How do we help each other become followers of Jesus? We know it is not a one-off thing. It's not something we do one day and then tick the box. It's something that is a lifelong journey of following Jesus, of choosing to walk with him and go where he goes. So we're about making healthy disciples, and we are healthy disciples that are transforming community. Because of what Jesus has done in our lives, we become people that he uses to bring light into dark places. Not through anything that's special about us particularly, but because of who he is in us as we become followers of him. So that's who we are, healthy disciples, transforming community. And just three Bible passages, or four references, that I just want to, you should be familiar with these. Jeremiah 29, we've already talked about, it's on the wall over there. Seek the prosperity of the city in which you find yourself. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which you find yourself. You could pop the next slide up, please, Dom. And we seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Genesis 12, another key one. We've already talked about being blessed in order to be a blessing. Remember that promise to Abraham, I will bless you and your people so that you may be a blessing. We come, and of course we want to be blessed. We want to encounter God and we want to go deeper with him. But we do that not just for ourselves. We do that so that we become a blessing to the city. And in some small way, alongside all the other wonderful churches in this city, we want to be a blessing to the city. So that informs us. Luke 4, remember Jesus standing in the temple, speaking the words of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor. Freedom, recovery of sight, set the oppressed free. And then John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So Jesus' mandate was that, the Luke 4 mandate, to go and set people free, to set the oppressed free. In the same way that the Father sent him to do that, he sends us to go and do the same. So these are key verses that inform us as a church and are the kind of rationale, if you like, behind why we do what we do. So, as the Father sends me, so I send you. Jesus goes to the poor. And I just want to explain a little bit more about my understanding of what poverty is. And it's very much shaped by Tearfund. Many of you know that I went on a trip with Tearfund to Rwanda, and I got to see their work in action. And poverty, sometimes when we think about poverty, we will often think about economic poverty, which is absolutely part of what poverty is. But Tearfund's understanding, which is biblically informed, is that poverty actually is a very broad thing. And all of us, all of humankind, because of our fallen nature, poverty affects all of us in some way. So there's economic poverty, which is the most obvious one. Then there's spiritual poverty, a lack of relationship with the Lord, lack of relationship with God. And then there's relational poverty that flows from that place. So just very briefly, again, we're very familiar with this, but Adam and Eve, the story in Genesis, Adam and Eve hide from God, broken relationship with God. So poverty of relationship with God, a lack of relationship with God breaks in. Shame enters, and then they cover themselves, and then they have a broken relationship with their self. They don't understand themselves the way that God does. There's a poverty of identity, if you like, of relationship with God, which then affects how they understand themselves. And if I'm honest, I think this is one of the key things that the church has to offer to the world today, that who God is and who we are in him. He's the one who tells us who we are. He's the one who defines our identity. And the fallen nature of the world means that we have lost our ability to find ourselves in him and know who we are in him. And that is one of the gifts that we can offer as a church to the world. Harmony between man and woman, between people, is distorted as a result of this poverty of relationship with the Lord. So relationship with others is distorted. And then as a result of these broken relational aspects, then it flows out into material poverty, broken world. Things aren't the way they should be. And we talk, don't we, about Revelation 21. One day he will make all things new. One day it will be as it is in heaven. We pray this in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. What's it like in heaven? Well, there's no poverty. There's no poverty of relationship. There's no poverty of relationship with God, with each other. And so when we pray on earth as in heaven, we're praying those things of heaven onto earth now. So that's why we go after those things now. The things of heaven breaking into earth now. Partially realized, one day fully realized. And we are the people who carry the hope for what God will one day do. When he remakes all those relationships, when he renews all those relationships, when there is no longer that poverty in the world that breaks us and that causes all the problems. So that's my understanding of what then informs what we go after as a church, that there is poverty in the world, there's poverty in our own lives at different levels, and those three poverties, economic, spiritual, and relational. That's why our vision of the church as a church is holistic. You sometimes, I hope we never ever have this conversation in this church, but you sometimes find this false binary, if you like, of we're either a church that goes after God or a church that does social work and social stuff. And it's a false division. The full gospel is encounter with God, relationship with God, the poverty of relationship with God renewed. And it is also the world being renewed through us. It's the whole gospel, and the sum of the separate parts is so much greater than the individual parts on their own. We go after the fullness of the gospel, and one of the questions I like to ask is, how big is your gospel? Is your gospel just limited to you and Jesus and your walk with him, or is there something more to the fullness of the gospel? And God calls his people. God is in the business of renewing all of creation. Not just you and me as individuals. The fullness of creation is what God is after renewing. And we get to be people who join in with him and be part of his renewing of the fullness of creation. I have come, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. You and me, he's come that you and I would have life to the full. And that through us, we would be a light in the dark places and bring life in the fullness to many people. The fullness of life is what we long to see in Sheffield. It is not three separate ministries. It's one gospel expressed in three ways: word and deed, presence and practice, Sunday and every other day. So what does this already look like for all of us at the moment? So this is where we're at in terms of those things. Spiritual poverty, we're a church that is formed by prayer and scripture. We're making space for encounter with God. We have prayer rooms. We have prayer times, special prayer events. We have regular prayer Zoom meetings. We go after prayer and we go after reading scripture. That is our foundation as a church. One of the things I would say to people is, if you're thinking of being part of this church, the only line that I would, the kind of key red line that I would draw is, are you wanting to follow Jesus? And do you think that the Bible is the way that we will learn about him? And do you want to, and do you believe in prayer? That's kind of, for me, the key thing, that the Bible is our foundation. We look to scripture. Yeah, we'll wrestle with it. Yes, we'll have debate on it. But is that your foundation? We are a people who go after encounter with God, seeking him, and we will continue to do that. We've just started a discipleship year. We believe in helping each of us to walk well with Jesus. The discipleship year really excites me, that we're partnering with STC, St. Thomas Crooks, and we're part of the new Wine Discipleship Year Hub for Sheffield. And we've got 9 interns this year. four based down here, five based up at STC, working together, learning over this year to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus in his church. That's exciting. That reflects who we are as a church. But for all of us, we're about discipleship. We're about encountering him and going deeper with him. Is that your heart? Is that what you want? As when we come to the end of this talk, I'll say, what is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? Where are you at with your wanting to go deeper with Jesus? Last week we talked about the call of the disciples and how he said to them, drop your nets and follow me. And we talked about what are the nets that you need to drop in order to be able to go and follow Jesus. And all of us have those. So maybe you could start be just engaging with the Holy Spirit even now. Where is my heart at with going deeper with God? Relational. Communities are key in our church, in both Philadelphia and King's Center. We value communities. We encourage everyone to be in communities because communities are places where you belong, where you get to walk with others, where we get to carry each other. When one week someone is having a really tough time, maybe really struggling with their faith, maybe there's just tough stuff going on in their lives, but we get to walk together in this. We get to be Jesus to each other in this, and we get to carry each other. Walking with Jesus is not a lone job. It's not a lone occupation. We have to do it together. We choose to come to church and worship together. We choose to be in community together. And we, going into what we're going to be doing, we will keep pressing down into how do we strengthen our communities and how do we grow more communities. Other examples of communities, it's not just those that meet midweek. It's things like playtime and King's Kids. Places where people can come and belong and have relationship and also at the same time be alongside people who know Jesus. And let me say, I say this always, but it is really important to say, we do not do any of the things that are connection points into the community as a means to an end just so that we can tell them about Jesus. We do them because they are expressions of the kingdom, breaking relational poverty, blessing the communities. But we will do all we can to tell people about Jesus in those places. Do you see the difference? We're not doing it as a means to an end, but we will tell people about Jesus when it's right. The full gospel, the whole gospel, those connection places. We want to be known as the church where there's always a seat at the table for people who want to explore faith with Jesus. Is there a seat at your table? Is there a seat at your community for people to step in and explore who Jesus is? And then material poverty, our food banks, we have two food banks, particularly that work with Network Church Sheffield, one at King's Center, one here at Philadelphia, partnering with Essex Food Bank. We have partners as a church. We work with Tear Fund. We give to Tear Fund. We pray for Tear Fund. We're a Home for Good Church, which is an organization that is now coupled up with Safer Families, that is looking to enable a safe home for every child. And we're a Home for Good church. And we had a really good time this last week learning about the work of Home for Good and the work of the many families in our church who are foster families or adoptive families. So that's one example of what we do now in terms of going after those aspects of those areas of poverty. And like I said, a key thing as a church is that we want to go where God is going in these things. And the fact that we're celebrating the Shire Green Graph today is a really good visual image, a really good representation of who we are as a church, of what we're doing. We want to go to places and we want to bless communities. Sometimes it means sacrifice. Often it means sacrifice and giving away. But that is the gospel. That is the gospel. And it's exciting to be part of it, even though if it is sometimes a little bit painful. Earlier on, a year ago, I forget now how long ago it is now, but we planted Food and Community Trust. That's come out of the work of God in this church, of wanting to go after the poverty that is in the city, of relational and material and spiritual. Food and Community Trust, the Essex Food Banks, working with people so that everyone in the city is fed, so that people are able to be out of debt, so that young people can go to a youth group and have an adult that is for them and is a constant in their lives. That's FCT. And we as a church planted FCT because of what we believe, because of who we are. And it's going from strength to strength in its own right now, Food and Community Trust. So those are some of the things, just some of the things about what we do at the moment. Just a couple, before I go into where we're going as a finish, prophetic words that guide who we are as well. It's all scripture, we've talked about scripture. We are also a church that believes that God speaks to us today through scripture, but also through prophetic words. And Giles talked about the ditches, the digging the ditches and going down into the wells. And it's interesting that he did that because one of the key prophetic words that I've been mulling on is I went to the Hebrides recently. I went on a road trip with Tom from Crooks, and we went to a conference that was celebrating the revival that happened in the Hebrides, and we were prayed for, both myself and Tom, at the end of one of the, we went and asked for prayer, and the pastor of the church, he said, I just feel God is saying, dig the wells are there. Learn to dig the wells again of what I've given you as a church. I think that's true. I think partly what God has been doing in me and certainly in us as a church is learning to dig those. Those wells are still there. And by wells, I think it's that encounter with him. It's that resource of God so that as we dig the wells, we have living water to then go and share with the city and bless the city. And it may be a word for individuals as well, for us as individuals. Do we need to learn to dig those wells again? They're there, but some of us have let them go dry. Dig the wells again. They're there. The resource of God. He longs to meet with us. He longs to be the living water that blesses us. God is, and Alma as well, if you remember Alma, who's from YWAM in Albania, some of our young people are going to go on a mission trip to Albania again this autumn. Alma came and spoke to us as a church back in 2023, and she said this, God is opening up the wells of awakening, and that was in 2023. And then I get prayed for at the Hebrides, and he says, God is wanting you to go into the wells again and dig the wells. So you start to ask God, okay, maybe you might be just reminding me of something here, God. You might be just saying something to us as a church. God is opening up the wells of awakening. Seek God again. Draw on him. Remember what he's already spoken to us and be rooted in him and step into those things. I think above anything else, if I'm really honest, it's a call to holiness. It's a call to rediscover ourselves in him. And the challenge to you and me is, do we want to go with him? And there is we're talking at the moment at Philly about the taking up the cross. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the cross bids us come and die. There's a cost to following Jesus, but there is so much to gain from following Jesus. We get to celebrate what he's doing like we've done today. And I guess the question for us at this, I think it's a pivot point for us as a church. So many different things happening. In both bases, the question again is, are you prepared to go with the cost, to take the cost of following Jesus? Because God will move in his sovereignty. He will move. Our choice is whether we get to be part of that with him. And I want to be part of that with him. I think as a church, we want to be part of that with him. But there is a choice, and I think we are at a pivot point. Do you want to go deeper with him? Do I want to go deeper with him? What does it mean for you in your walk with Jesus? Where do you need to repent from things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing? Where do you need to drop nets where if you like, the activity is stopping you following Jesus fully? Now, I don't know. The Holy Spirit will work in your life. So I can say this without knowing really what I'm saying to you, but you will know what I'm saying to you if God is speaking to you. I certainly know what he's saying to me, and it's certainly a challenge to me about how much do I want this? The cost of following him is a call to holiness. And doesn't the world need a church that is following Jesus fully at the moment? Doesn't the world need to see the light that Jesus is through his church, a city on a hill, shining in the darkness? Doesn't the world need that at the moment? Well, that's the invitation for you and me to be that church. The other key prophetic thing that I just want to remind us about is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. And this, whilst this was the story of how this church was planted from crooks, and I mentioned this recently in a talk, so I won't go over it in detail, but just to say that when Crooks was first thinking about planting this church here, the person, Mike Breen, who came to preach at the church, he said, God is calling you to be the church in Philadelphia, where there's an open door placed before you that no one can shut. And that is true for us as a whole church. It mentions Philadelphia, but I'm talking to NCS here now. God has placed open doors before us. And again, linking what I just said, we can choose to step through that door, but no one can close the door. I think that is the promise that God has given us as a church, that he will open doors for us to step into things of his kingdom. But it's our choice to do that. And that is a key verse that has informed us. And, you know the story that like 5 or 6 years later, when they came down the hill to look at this site being a possibility to be bought so that Philadelphia could be here, as they came into this area, it said, "Welcome to Philadelphia" on a sign. And no one knew that there was an area of Sheffield called Philadelphia. But God has placed the open door before you, the church in Philadelphia. So where are we going? Just briefly then. We are a church that goes after the fullness of the gospel. Holistic gospel is sometimes called an integrated gospel, the fullness of it. We don't run ministries only as a means to an end, but we will speak of Jesus with clarity and joy. We will go after prayer and presence. We'll continue to develop sustainable rhythms of prayer spaces, special events where we're doing 24 hours of prayer. We're going to look at how we do more gathered worship and intercession, because another passage that has been really speaking to me a lot and has been key for me is that passage where Jehoshaphat goes to the battle. God says to him, "Go to the place of battle and worship and see what I do." Worship is at the forefront. Our encounter with it is at the forefront of everything that God does. You know, David and all the worshippers went before the armies, didn't they? Dancing and worshipping God. And it creates that breakthrough into what God wants to do. So we will continue to press into that. And I encourage you to press into whatever it is that enables you to encounter God. What is it that does that? Press into it. Press into God. If it's sticking on worship, if it's going for a walk in the country, if it's sitting in your garden, whatever it is, press into that, encounter God, seek him. We will draw deep on the wells that God has given us as a church to be the people to see his kingdom come in and through us, formed by the Holy Spirit, a holy people of God. Strengthening communities. We'll continue to encourage people to be in communities. And one of the things that I'm committed to, and I know this is some feedback I've had from community leaders, I haven't been as present as I've wanted to be with community leaders, but that is changing, and I will be regularly meeting with community leaders because it is important and it's key for who we are, for that sense of belonging and being able to go together and equip each other. And our communities are places of scripture, of reading the word, of prayer, of hospitality. Is there a seat at the table and a place of mission? There, we can't do all that we want to do in discipleship in these kind of gatherings, but we can do them in our communities. We'll tell the stories. I'm very aware that the stuff that we do as a church, which is really important, that many of you are at the chalk face in the daily week. You know, that's why I say that... we're not a church that is just going after one day of service, but we're going after 7 days of serving. And that includes being people in their everyday jobs, everyday lives that we have. And I want to maybe shine a light more on those things that people do. And you'll know at Philadelphia, we've started doing a little bit more interviewing of people and what they do in their daily lives this time tomorrow. And we're going to do more of that. But again, communities are those places where we support each other in our daily walk with Jesus. That's why communities are so important. You'll remember this little picture that we had a year ago, hopefully, with the rather strange AI people with no bodies on the roof, just heads. Yeah, I thought I'd done a good job until people pointed out to me, why are there just heads on a roof rack? But anyway, you know the point, you know what I'm trying to say. We go together. How can you step in to what we are going to be? Church is not something we attend, it's a people that we are everywhere all week. It's not something we attend, it's a people that we are everywhere all week. So what does it look like for you to go with God? One thing I forgot to say as well is that a couple of things that we're going to be going after. Growing Hope, you've heard me mention this, as part of our going after poverty materially and relationally and spiritually. Growing Hope is an organisation that works with families, giving therapeutic help to people. It's a Christian organisation. We're looking at partnering with them. They will have space in this in the building, and we will it will be blessing and serving families in the city who need therapy for their families, also with the opportunity to be able to share Jesus with them as appropriate. So that's one thing that we're looking to doing. You'll also know, many of you will be aware, that we're talking about our buildings at the moment, particularly the buildings here at Philadelphia and what we do with them. We were very blessed to get these buildings, but let's face it, they are falling apart a little bit, some of them. And we need to be good stewards of what we do with our buildings. And I'm talking with community leaders on the 16th of September. So community leaders, please do make sure you're there if you can, where we talk about this a little bit more in detail. But just to say, we are talking about what we do with our buildings, and it's most likely going to be that we sell a fair bit of our buildings and we invest in this space here so that it becomes fit for purpose for what God is calling us to do for the next 20-25 years. And I'm more than happy to talk with people at King Center. I'm coming to you on the 5th of October and we can talk about this as well, and I want your input in this. I want your thoughts on this. We as a trustees want your thoughts on this, but that's our aim. We're looking at what God is calling us to do. And buildings are a bit boring. I mean, I find myself in conversations where I'm like, I never thought when I trained to be a minister of a church, I'd be in conversations like this. And most of the time I've learned how to bluff it and look like I know what I'm talking about. That's one of the real skills of being a leader of a church. You know, fake it while you make it. But I am excited because of what it will enable us to do as a church in terms of blessing the city. We want to be a church where, I mean, this building, King Center as well, with Food Bank coming to King Center and the connections that you have with community, with King's Kids and the summer things that went on over the summer, and the faithfulness of all you guys just being in that community. We're going to see, we want to see our buildings used 7 days a week. God, the presence of people 7 days a week, like a community hub. And that's what the aim is with what we're going to be doing with our buildings, looking to be using them 7 days a week, where there are playtime, food banks, Connect Cafe, King's Kids, all serving the community with opportunities to know Jesus, come alongside people who know Jesus. And if we can make our buildings fit for purpose for that, then we'll get to see God transform our city through us more and more. That's what we're going after. So buildings, a bit boring, but what God could do through what we do with our buildings, that's quite exciting. Okay. What's your response? I've already mentioned, take your faith seriously. All I can say is invite you to go deeper with Jesus. What does it look like for you to go deeper with Jesus? And I do think there is a choice for you and me at this season. Is this just going to be something I do as an addition to other things that I do in life? Or is this going to be the thing that I do and everything else falls into place behind it? Am I a follower of Jesus? Am I prepared to take up my cross and follow him and be part of this journey as a church together for where he's leading us? Only you can answer that. And it's fine to say, I struggle with this, God. I have some days where I'm really good at it. It's fine. All God wants is the heart that is saying yes to him, and then he'll help us work that out. And there's grace in it, always grace. But where is your heart? Is it to choose to follow him? Be in community as much as possible. Be in community. And there's a whole breadth of communities that we can be part of, and it doesn't have to one size fits all. But choose to be in community with other Christians, whatever that looks like. And we as a church will do our best to help you be in community. But maybe you could start one. How about that? Maybe you could go, oh, I could do that. I could just invite people around my house and we could have a little bit of simple food. We could pray for each other and we can open up the Bible together. I'd love to hear from people who want to do that, so that we make sure there are seats at the table for anyone who wants to journey with us. Can you serve at one of the connection points? Many of you do already, but can you serve at one of the connection points? A food bank, a Connect Cafe, King's Kids. Can you serve at one of those connection points? Many of us can't because you're involved in things during the day, and I get that. But you could pray. Pray for those connection points. Bless them financially. Can you serve in a ministry? Kids work, youth work, hospitality. We do this together. Can you serve on one of those teams as a way of blessing your church family? Give financially. If you are part of this church, if you see yourself as part of this church and you are on the journey with this church, I think you should be giving to the church. I give to the church. I'm not saying, just saying it to you. This is part of our calling, part of the way that God resources us. I don't say this very often. I don't feel comfortable saying it, but I do think biblically it is what we're called to do. And I'm so grateful for the sacrificial giving of all the people in this church who do that, that enable us to do what we're doing. But please, can I encourage you to, before God, say, how are you calling me to bless this church financially so that it is able to step into the things that it can do? That's all I'm going to say on that. I'll leave that with you. But that is part of our discipleship. That is part of our discipleship. A church that is not just a one-day service, but a seven-day-a-week serving church. Going after, blessing this city, encountering God, becoming all that we're created to be, being blessed by him so that we may be a blessing. So we get to see him change people's lives, transform lives, going after those three areas of poverty, the things of heaven breaking into earth now through us. What a privilege, what an honor to do those things, to step into the things that God is doing. What an honor to bless Shire Green and what God's doing there, to bless FCT and what God is doing there and all the lives transformed. We get to be part of this. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't it an honor to join in with what God is doing? This is a pivot point for us as a church, and the choice for us is, do we step into it? And I know that I have the detail about things like buildings and stuff. It wouldn't be right to do now, but please hear me. I'm more than happy for people to come and ask me, and we will be sharing as trustees more each month with you about what we're thinking as we go forward. And that's really much, very much on the heart of the trustees. Can I invite you to stand? Thank you for bearing with us. There's been a lot of talk today, I know. But can I just bring us back to that simple phrase? What is God saying, and what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What excites you about what you've seen or heard today? And I'm just going to simply pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. And I pray and invite you in the quietness of your heart to say a yes to him, even if you might not know what that means, but to say, yes, I want to step into all that you're doing in me. And if you're part of this church, to say, yes, I'm into what you're calling me to be part of in this church. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for all the ways that we have been able to celebrate this week, this day. All the great things that you are doing. Lord, you are good. And what an honor and privilege to join in with your work and to see what you're doing. We celebrate all the ways that you have worked in and through us as a church. We celebrate the deep wells that you have placed before us that we can draw on. And we say this morning, Lord, that we long to draw upon the wells that you have provided for us. We long to draw more than anything upon you and who you are. We want to go deeper with you. We want to know you so that we can become all that you create us to be. We long to see you move in our hearts, Lord. We long to see you move in our city and beyond. So, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to challenge us, to invite us into new things. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us that we would have the courage to step into all that you're inviting us to. Lord, thank you for this church, for the many faithful people over the years. We pray your continued blessing on us as a church. We pray your blessing on all the many expressions of the gospel that have gone from this church and are going from this church. Lord, would you continue to bless them so that they would be a blessing to many others. Lord, you are good. You are faithful. We worship you and we give you glory. Amen.